Praise God. Again, just welcome all of you to the Word. Welcome you all to the place that God's going to speak to you today. And I pray that your heart and your mind is open and willing to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. As you know, over the last, since March 17th, I wrote it down there on the board when we started this teaching, so I wouldn't forget. Since March 17th, we've been talking about God building His church. Amen. And this is still just, I'm only scratching the surface. I can't get into all of the ins and outs, but I can tell you that there is a pattern that God uses. He uses faith. He uses those who believe. He uses the Word of God. And He has a plan. And there was a confession that was made by Peter when Jesus had asked him, who do men say that I am? And some of his disciples said, oh, they think that you're one of the prophets, or that you're Jeremiah, or you're John the Baptist that came back from the dead. And Jesus asked his disciples and said, who do you say that he is? And of course, Peter said, thou art the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, flesh and blood has not told you this, but it was the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that moved on him. The only way that you can know that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that He raised from the dead, is that the Spirit of God moved over you. And it's a different kind of knowing than just a head knowledge. It's a deep knowledge inside of your heart that actually changes the inward part, which results in an outward change of life. All of a sudden, you weren't easy to love, and now you love easier. Amen? It used to be that you lied, and now you only tell the truth, right? It used to be that you stole, and now all you want to do is give back what you stole. Those are changes that God does in you on the inside that is produced on the outside. So Jesus said that He's going to build His church. Amen? Praise God. You can find that in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And the key thing about this is that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There is nothing, there is no devil in hell, there's no man on earth, there's no circumstance, no thing. There's no amount of rockets being fired from Iran into Israel that's going to change anything. God is going to build His church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. It doesn't matter what I see with my physical eyes. My faith is in God, Him and Him alone. He is the Christ. He's the Creator. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And how many things were made by Him? All. Amen. All things. All things were made. And nothing was made that was made without Him. So everything that you see, everything that you know, every power and principality that's on this earth, God is absolutely sovereign over top of that. And Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. And that is the confession, that is the belief that the gates of hell shall never prevail against, regardless of what you see in this time. So in any good building, you need a blueprint. And so God gave us a blueprint, and I have several different places we've talked about this. And I took it and kind of built it over here in a quick overview of the Bible. So you're wondering, what is this, right? And so there were the Pentateuch, or the Torah, right? My brother said, need to call it the Torah. Then I looked at it, and it's actually the Pentateuch. That's it, Pentateuch. I don't speak Hebrew real well. But anyhow, but it's the first five books of Moses. And God is setting a foundation there. He's setting a flat plane. And He's setting it over top of a world that's been corrupted through sin. Everybody who was born after Adam is born a sinner by nature. You don't have to try to sin, you just do it. It's already in you, you cannot make it happen. In fact, in and of yourself, you can't stop it from happening. But God, again, my two favorite words in the whole Bible, but God is able to. And He wants us to be conformed into His image. So He gave us these books. He gave us the book, which is the Word of God, the King James Bible, and He gave us the book, which has the laws of Moses. It has the prophetic books. It has historical books. It has poetic books. And all of these all hold different things and different aspects that touches your life in a real personal way every time you open it. Amen? Who here has ever opened their Bible and not got a revealed something from God? Amen? Every time I open my Bible, every time I read it and I'm really seeking God, you know what? He meets me right there. And normally what he shows me, he says, this is my righteousness, Curtis. This is what I want you to look like. And then I look at myself, I say, well, this is what I look like. All right? The reality is that I'm a sinner that have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All right? And the only thing I need to do is trust the one who gave me the Word of God, the very living Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. I need to trust him enough to adjust my life to what the book says. God has a standard for the believer. He has a way that we can be holy because he is holy. Amen? Do you believe that you can be holy? You, really? Do you? All right, how do you do that, Kevin? You walk with God. How do you walk with God? How do you know the way? Jesus? It is the Word. Amen. It is the Word of God. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. No man goes to the Father. No man goes to Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ, without God the Father moving on them, giving them direction, and that individual being willing to be conformed into the image of God. There's a free will that God will not overpower. He will not come in and say, I'm going to make you do this. But he says, I'm going to love you where you're at. I'm going to show you truth. And I'm going to ask you to be converted, to be changed, to be transformed from the sinful, worthless individual that you are, that I am. I'm not going to put it on you. I'm going to put it on me. And as me, as an individual, I say, yes, God, I trust you more than I trust myself. Then he starts this thing that's called, well, he starts transforming us. He starts making us into living stones. See, the problem with the world is it got corrupted through sin. And we all became dead stones at that point in time. We stopped being able to communicate with God in a very personal, deep relationship. So God made a sacrificial system. Says, if you want to get close to me, you need to shed blood. You need to shed not just any blood, but innocent blood. And that innocent blood will be what I will take your unrighteousness and I'll mix it with that blood and I will forgive you for a time. And then God came on the scene. Jesus the Christ. He came and said, I am the perfect Lamb of God. And no longer will you have to trust in the blood of bulls and goats, but you can trust in the blood of the only begotten of the Father. You put your faith in his righteousness and his hope, and you will be converted from a dark, lifeless, worthless stone into a living stone that can be made into the building, the church of Jesus Christ. Who here wants to be made into the church? Amen. Die. Die. Well, not die. Be willing to be conformed. I like that better because that's where we're going to be talking about. Last week we talked about the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. We talked about living stones, that we are living stones from 1 Peter chapter 2, that God is on us, he's living in us, and he wants us to be conformed. And I saw this. I didn't have one of those crazy dreams, you know, like some other things I've heard. But I said, wow, if we're living stones, that means God needs a tool. Right? So I got my rock hammer. Right? Rock hammer's a pretty cool hammer. It's different than any other kind of hammer I have. You can't really pull a nail with this. But you know what you can do it? You can shape stones. You can shape stones. Now, God doesn't use a hammer like this. You know what he does use? King James Bible. This is God's hammer right here. And he wants you to be conformed into this, into his son. And so God will say, hey, Curtis, I want you to be changed. And so he takes a, now, Curtis, I love you. Come on. Come on. Will you do it? Come on, Curtis. Just change. Just change for a minute. But you know why this rock doesn't change? It's free will was resisting it. God's still pounding on it all the time. I got this out as a piece of granite. I'm not going to break that with this hammer. All right? But then says, God says, I want to do something different in you, Joshua. I want to give you a new heart. I want to give you a heart that I can move. This is my heart. It's old, ugly, nasty, not really good for much. And God says, you know, Curtis, if I take this right here, I can kind of mold you and I can shape you. Look there. Curtis, there's things in your life that I can break off of you and actually make you fit better. I said, really, God? He says, yeah. Will you let me do it? So I had to be like this piece of sandstone. Not a piece of granite that can't be moved, but a piece of sandstone that's willing to be moved, that's willing to be manipulated. And then the master carpenter says, all right, I want to start making you into the church. I want to start making you into a body of believers, something, a city that's built on a hill. But there's things in you, Curtis, that must die. Joshua, there's things that, Dean, there's things in you that's got to change, because I want to use you mightily, but in and of yourself, the way you are, I you're much not much use to me right now. In fact, you're dead. But I want to make you living stones. See, you're dead by your sin, by your birthright. You're dead by your unrighteousness in God. And God says, listen, dude, I just got to do this to you. I said, God, that hurts. It hurts. Stop. He says, no, I love you. I love you. I want to take this thing off of you. Oh, God, man, that hurts. Oh, I'm so much lighter now. Couple things had to happen there. That rock had to be willing to be whacked on. It had to be willing to be conformed. And when it's conformed into the hand of the master, until you're conformed into the image of Christ, you're of no real use to God. But as you allow him to chip on you a little bit every day, and he does. God doesn't do this all at once. Praise God. I am so glad that God just didn't come in at me and do like we do modern bricks. You take the clay, you crush it all down, you add stuff to it, and you put it in a furnace and make it into some square. Well, thank you, Lord, for this. A brick, right? We all know what they look like. They're all uniform. They all kind of look the same. I like a stone house better. Stone house has character. It has different colors. It's held together by different things. Man, praise God. Speaking of answering prayer, an answer prayer just walked through the door. Praise God. I love you, brother. Good to see you. And so it's just great the way that God does these things. And God says, I want you to be moldable in my hand. I want to make you a new stone. I want to take the old, dead, lifeless things that are on the outside of you and I want to chip them away. I want to take away your sin. Are you willing to give it to me? That's where the free will part of this comes in. You got to be willing to be held in the master's hand for him to do this conforming to you. And I said all that to get into this. All right. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you, Lord God, for this teaching that we're about ready to get into. And I pray, Lord, that we would actually seek the will of God in our personal lives. Lord, that you would move mighty in and on us, that we would be willing participants in the conforming of our sinful lives into the image of your Son. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we ask for those things in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing that I've noticed over the years of studying the Bible and looking through it, God's always looking. Amen? God is always seeking. He's moving over the time-space continuum. I learned that from Star Trek. All right, I don't really know what it means, but I think God's on the... Oh, actually, praise God, think of this. Everything that we know in our life is in this bucket. Our whole world is right here. This is all that we know. God's out here. He's outside of the bucket, but he cares very much what's in the bucket. He cares about this rock, you. He cares about this rock and this rock. Actually, I was going to break this rock, but it smells really bad. It actually has an oil smell to it. I don't know. And so he cares about this rock. He cares about this rock. He really cares about that one because it's kind of clean. It's almost pink. You know, I think he cares about that rock a whole lot. But you know what? He doesn't. He doesn't care any more about this rock than he does this old ugly rock. You know what he does care about is the living stones that are willing to be manipulated by the Word of God and changed from a dead rock into a living stone. That you can be a part of a building much greater than you. God so loved the world, the rock, the rocks, the pebbles. He so loved you individually that he came as one of you, I don't have a perfect stone in there. Of course not. They don't make perfect stones. He came as the cornerstone. He came as the one that is without flaw, that is absolutely perfect, that all other rocks, all other things can be arranged to. I am just a regular old rock, right? I'm just a regular old rock. And God is making me squared away. Amen? Yeah, any of y'all ever involved in the military? Do you understand what squared away means? Does anyone know what squared away means? Okay. All right, I was brought up in a military family. And one thing that I was told is, you better have your stuff squared away. You know what that meant? In my chest of drawers, all my clothes had to be folded a particular way and put away in a color-coded manner. All of my clothes hanging in my closet had to have the second button buttoned, and all of the shirts had to be facing a certain direction. All right, squared away. When my stepdad came and he ran his finger across the top of my door, not the door jamb, but the door, if there was dust there, my room was not squared away. My bed had to be made a particular way. My shoes had to be in the closet in a particular shape. You were squared away. Why? Because you conformed to the ruler of the house. Amen? God says, I want you to be squared away. I want you to be like Jesus Christ. I want you to become part of this cornerstone. In fact, and who can do that? Go ahead, any of you. Do you think you can do it?
No.
You cannot do it. You cannot. There's no way. I couldn't do it when I was growing up. I could not be squared away all the time. I couldn't make my gig line. Y'all know what a gig line is? Okay, it's the way that your tie lines up with your buttons, with your belt, with your zipper, with your shoes. It's a gig line, right? And I could not make my gig line ever straight, so I started wearing pullovers, right? God says, I want to fix your gig line. I want to get you squared away. The only way that I can get squared away to Jesus Christ is I need to fall on the rock that's rejected. And when I fall on the rock that's rejected, I'm going to be broken. And you know what happens when you're broken? By falling on the rock, he remakes you. He changes you. He takes your unrighteousness and turns it into righteousness as you follow his will, his way, his word. Right? You want to pass inspection? Right? Do you know that you're going to be inspected? Do you know that there's a day that you're going to stand before God and he's going to say, is your gig line squared away? I want to open up all the drawers in your closet, all the drawers in your dresser. I want to see that your socks are in numerical order from small to biggest, all right? I want to make sure that your t-shirts are rolled up exactly 5.5 inches wide and about 2 inches round. I want to make sure all of your things are in a row. And he's going to open up my drawer. You know what he's going to find? My socks are in my t-shirt place, right? All my stuff is out of order. And then God's going to do this great thing. He's going to say, though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Now, I just picked up this. I guess today's a good day just for, what do they call these?
Visual aids.
Your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Do you know how God does that? Do you know how that's done in our world? Through a red lens. If I had a lens that was the same color as this, and I put that red lens in front of this, this here would become white because the red would block out the red that's in it and only the purity that's in there would shine through. So when I stand before Jesus, I'm under the propitiation of Jesus' blood, the covering of Jesus' blood. And though I am a sinner rotten to the very core, God's blood cleanses me from all unrighteousness. He doesn't see me as I am today. He sees me as who I will be after I'm conformed into the image of the Most High God. So how do you do that? Humble yourself in the hand of God. It's not your will that needs to be done, it's His will. It's not your way, it's His way. It's not what you want to do, it's what He wants to do. Are you willing to be conformed into a living stone
from a dead stone. Amen. Did I pray? Okay, praise God. All right. Because sometimes I get the cart in front of the horse from time to time. Do you know that God has a will? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So in this will of God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, that means I'm imploring you, I'm begging you, and I exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so that you would abound more and more. For we know that the commandments we have give you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. All right? If you look at verse 3 right there, you ought to circle that. This is the will of God. Who wants to know the will of God? Amen? This is the will of God. Even your sanctification. That means you're moving, you're changing, you're being rebuilt, your sanctification. You're being made holy, although you are unholy. Your sanctification. Excuse me, verse 3. The will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiousness. Thank you, guys. Even as Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Who's going to be the judge? God. All right? This is the will of God, that you keep your body in sanctification, that you keep your body holy, that you, and Joshua, Kevin in the back, how do you keep your body holy? Here, I'll hold it up for you. Amen. It's by the word of God. I cannot contain this body in and of my own power. I have got to trust Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of my faith. I've got to trust him totally to make this sanctification real. Now, in that trusting him, that means this faith, this obeying, this believing God is where God shows me through his word what he expects out of me, and I think about it. Is that what you got to do? You got to, well, I'm going to think about this, God. No. What do you got to do? Anybody? Trust and obey. You got to receive it, right? You got to say, all right, God, your word's right. My word's wrong. Your way is correct. My way is incorrect. I receive that. Now I want to make adjustments. I want to be holy because you are holy. I want to be righteous because you are righteous. The only way that a human being can be made righteous before God is through Jesus Christ's blood, his sacrifice on the cross, and his resurrection. I need to repent from my sin and by faith believe in the God who raised from the dead. It's repentance, it's faith. I believe it, I repent from my way to his way, that I might be able to be conformed into his image. This changing, this cutting away of the old dead man, that I might live righteous before God. Not just righteous before God, but righteous before man too. Because men are going to look at me. Amen? They're going to look at you. What's his name? Ben. They're going to look at you, Ben. Your classmates are going to look at you. And they're going to say, he calls himself a Christian. Well, I'm going to examine his mouth with his life. I'm going to examine what he says against what he does. Right? And all of us are in that situation. We're all there. The world's looking at you, Kevin. They're looking at you and they're asking. He calls himself a Christian, but is there anything in Christ in his life that he could say, God changed this in me? And praise God, it's a continual sanctification. It doesn't happen overnight. And I'm so glad for that. Because if God would have taken change me completely all in one day, I couldn't have stood it. But God doesn't see me as I am. He sees me as I'm going to be. He already sees me seated in the heavenly realms. He already sees that. In His eyes, that's where I am. Not because of my own righteousness, but because of His righteousness, His blood, His sanctification, His payment for my sin. Your sin. God sees your sin, and He asks you to repent of it. That way you can be conformed into the image of His Son. And it happens a little bit at a time. And I'm glad that it happens a little bit at a time, because guess what? I sin today. In fact, as I'm standing here, I'm a sinner. I am sinning. Right now, this very moment, I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? There is nothing righteous in me, nothing at all in my flesh, but the Spirit of God that dwells in me. The propitiation of God, the covering of God's righteousness over this unmovable, unchangeable, unrepentant stone. And God says, do you love me? I say, yeah, God, I love you. He says, good, then let me take this hammer and whack on you a little bit. Oh, man, I really don't like that, God. Well, wait a second, I want you to be conformed to my image. That means this part right here, this right here, that hurting that sin, it needs to come off of you. Will you give it to me? Yes, God, I'll give it to you. And He breaks it away. And He takes it away. And He gives me righteousness. He takes that thing that He broke off of me, and He covers that, makes it scab over, and He grows it into a new thing. And it's nothing that I did except surrender. All I did is say, yes, God, I am willing to be molded and shaped into your image. And I know what your image is by the word of God. And I know what to flee from. And I know what to cling to. Not because Kevin told me to. Not because Tom told me to. Not because Amanda has a good life. Not because Bill or Justin. It's because of the word of God tells me what is holy and right before Him. And I want to be with Him enough to allow Him to take the hammer of life and knock the dead manure and the dirt and the garbage of this world, scrub me clean. Amen? That's me. How about you? All right, now I'm going to get in your backyard. Do you want it? Do you want to be made right before God? Well, there's some things to do. Amen? In 1 Peter chapter 1, yeah, I was just going to quote it to you, but let's go to it because I've been known to misquote Scripture. Anybody have that problem? Amen. My memory is not what it used to be, even though I am eating, I forgot the name of the mushroom that's supposed to make you remember. Must not be working. Lion's mane. So, handy out. Where was that Scripture? 13 and 15. And so, chapter 1, verse 1, no, chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of your conversation. That means lifestyle. It just doesn't mean the way you talk. Amen? Of your lifestyle, your conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Are you? Are you? When you, Joshua, when you look at me and I look at you, I can say, yeah, I'm not holy. But when God looks at you, what does He see? He sees His Son. He sees the propitiation. He sees the covering. Why? It's not because of the righteousness that He has done, but it's the righteousness that God did over Him. And it's accounted or added to Him because of faith, not because of works. People, you cannot work it out yourself. You have to trust God. God's the master carpenter. You saw me swinging this little bitty hammer and I was chipping away stones and stuff like that, but I wasn't making them break smooth or straight or nothing like that. When God cuts the stone, it's cut just right. When God says, hey, Dave,
There's something in your life, and God talking to you says, son, daughter, excuse me, too much coffee. There's something in your life. There's something in your life, and I want to let you know what it is, you personally. And I want to take the molding power of the Holy Ghost, and I want to come over you, and I want to carve out that wickedness. And we have a free will. We can say, no, God, I love my sin. I want to keep it. And God will say, fine. But that's as far as I'm going to go with you right now. This far and no further. But when you say, yes, God, you're right, I'm wrong, take this sin away from me, you know what he does? He brings it to the cross. He buries it there. He takes your sin and he separates it as far as the east is from the west. He takes your sin, your unrighteousness, your unwillingness, back when you were unwilling, and he drowns it in the deepest parts of the sea. Praise God. He does that for you because he wants you to be part of the building. He wants you to be what the church is supposed to be. Holy because he is holy. Righteous because he is righteous. Honest, truthful because he is honest and truthful. Well, what about the ones who ain't honest and truthful? What about the ones who do all the other stuff? That's God's job to fix them. Amen? Dean, I can't make you be holy. I really, not that you aren't, but I know you ain't. Right? So, why? Because you're like me. You can't make me be holy. Right? Doug, I can't make that happen for you. The only way that that happens is through the Word, through the obedience of the Word, through the molding of Jesus Christ, changing you from day to day, from faith to faith. He changes you. He molds you. He works in you that you might become a living stone. Right now, if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ, you're a stone, but you're a dead stone. There is no life in you. In fact, right now, if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ, if you have not surrendered your will to his will by faith, if you haven't done that, then God says that you are not his and that you are dead. You're living in darkness and thinking that it's light. But God, through his great love for you, he lets his light come over you and lead you out of the darkness of your sin into his marvelous light and conforms you into the image of his Son. Amen. And that conforming power is what we're going to start talking about. See, in that born again, so now we go to verse 22 of chapter 1. Seeing you have purified your souls in doing what? Obeying the truth. You purify your souls by obeying the truth of God. You don't get in a shower and scrub yourself until you're clean. You get into Jesus and he washes you and he makes you clean as you obey his word. As you walk in his righteousness, he conforms you and changes you and gives you life for death. Praise God. Praise God. He does that. Your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit to unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Oh, praise God. His word does not change. It lives and it abides forever. And those who are in him, guess what? You're going to live, you're going to abide forever in him. Well, you're going to abide forever whether you're in him or not, but one side's going to be very comfortable, one side's not going to be. You'll either be broken on top of the cornerstone or you'll be crushed underneath it, one or the other. And so, if we trust in our flesh, verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Who here feels the falling of the petals? Amen. I'm dying every day, right? I do not have the flower of youth anymore. I'm old, wrinkly, out of breath. I can't move around like I used to, you know? And
it gets better.
It gets better. Praise God. Oh, but God, right? I have a promise from him. But the word of God, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
All right, by the truth of God, this is what's going to be preached unto you. Wherefore, because of all of that, wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile, hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so you have tasted, the Lord is gracious. To whom by the coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Jesus Christ, the perfect stone, the perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect building block, was rejected by the builders. He was rejected. But God chose him. He was precious before God, hated by man. Let me tell you what, if you're willing to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ through obedience of the word, you'll be hated by men, but you'll be loved by God. You'll be accounted as precious. Hey, Deb, you want to be precious to God? Repent. Simple. Come to him just as you are without one plea. You know what that means? That means you don't stand up in your own self-righteousness and say, God, I'm good enough. No, you come before God and you say, I'm not good enough. There's nothing right in me. There's no righteousness in me at all. Please, God, I need a Savior. And you know what he does? He says, I knew you would. I love you. I got your back and your front and your side, your inside, your outside. Now I'm going to start doing something in you, Deb, and it's going to hurt. I'm going to start conforming you into the righteousness of God. And he's going to show you through his word what he expects out of you. You need to lay aside all lying, lay aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisies, and envyings, and evil speaking. Well, people, I cannot do that. I still lie. I still have malice. I still do evil speaking. But you know what? God chisels that away from me day by day, moment by moment, because his grace is all sufficient. Now, should I sin all the more that the grace of God may abound? What's the rest of that? God forbid. God forbid. I need to strive for his righteousness. I need to try to be holy. I need to try to be upright. I need to adjust my life because God says, I loved you enough to die for you, to prove that I'm God. I rose from the dead for you, and I have called you by name, who you are right now, out of the muck and the nasty world. I'm calling you up and out. I'm pulling you out of this bucket, and I'm making a church in my image, by my name, by my righteousness, by my holiness, and I'm going to build that church, and you can be a part of it. But you see, all these rocks don't fit together. You know why? Because these rocks are stubborn rocks. Amen? God says, listen, this is going to fit there. I know it's going to fit. You know what I got? I got to crack it a little bit. I'm going to change it right here. I'm going to move it right there. I'm going to cut this part off. That side of it. I say, yes, God, it hurts, but I'll do it. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Ouch, ouch. Oh, thank you. Praise God. Oh, man. Woo. Man, it feels so good. And when he gets you shaped right, you know what he does? He puts you in the body. He puts you right where you need to be. It's not a good work. You're not the operator of the hammer. You're just this stone that said, yes, God, I want to be made in your image. I want that in my life more than I want my present shape. I want your righteousness more than my unrighteousness. I'm a living stone. And verse 5, and ye, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You know that there are some sacrifices that God will not take. If you bear iniquity in your heart, God will not hear your prayers. But if you humble your heart before God, if you repent of your sin, you can ask anything in his name. And he said, I got you covered. Well, Lord, I want to be healed today. And God says, all right, I can heal you today, but you know what I got to do? I'm going to have to take this hammer, and there's a spot in your life. This is the thing that's causing you not to be healed right here. You say, well, God, I love that thing. God says, do you want to be healed? I say, yeah, I want to be healed. Well, all right, hold on. And he starts whacking on you. He starts changing you. He starts making things fall off of you that you thought were worth something. Oh, God. Oh, dude, I'm so great. All right, wow, praise God. I bet you I fit better now. That's what God does for you. And he does the work. All I got to do is surrender my life to his hammer. I've got to rest in him and say, all right, God, you know what's best for me. Whack-a-mole. Hit away. Change me. Make me. I want to be a living stone. I want to be a part of the body. I want to be holy because you are holy. And God, only you know how to convert the soul. Only you, God, know how to touch me the way I need to be touched. Only you, Father, are the one with the power and the authority and the master of carpentry to hit me where I need to be hit, to make that sin die in my life. And I trust you more than what I see. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. I do not know what it is that I shall, that I am, what I don't know what I when I see him, I'll be like him. I don't know what it is. That's 1 Corinthians 15, somewhere around in there. But he's conforming me. He's changing me. I don't know what it looks like yet, but I'm trusting God that he's doing that work in me, on me, through me to complete his perfect will in my life. And again, it comes back to this simple thing. Do you want it? It's going to be uncomfortable. It is. He's going to call you from death to life, and it's going to be uncomfortable. This is not an easy thing to do because it's no longer about you. It's all about God. It's all about his will, his way, his righteousness. You mean I don't have a will? Well, there, you do have a will. But if you want to be conformed, you can't trust your will. I've got to trust his will. And the beautiful thing about that, he wrote me an instruction manual. He wrote me a book that if I want to know what his will is, I can read it. And when I find in my life things that don't line up with him, I humble myself to the hammer. I humble myself to God. And he says, all right, Curtis, you really want this? And I say, yeah, God, I want to be holy because you're holy. He says, well, I'm going to have to expose this. I'm going to have to pull this pus, this sinfulness to the surface that we can deal with it. And so as God does that to you, you confess it before him. You say, yes, Lord God, it's nasty, it's green, it stinks, it is putrefaction. It is disgusting. Cleanse me. Cleanse me. And then God starts the work. Right? Nurse, doctors, right? You come in, somebody has a cut in your arm, it's all filled with goop. What do you got to do first? Open it up, cleanse it out. I got to take a brush and do it. Well, that hurts. Yeah. Well, do you want gangrene or do you want to be healed? Well, it's going to hurt. For me to walk with God is going to hurt. In fact, the scripture tells me that I have got to die. I got to die. I cannot do it in and of myself. I've got to put him above my will, above my ways, and I've got to love his way and trust his way more than I can trust my own. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be born again? Well, it starts with a deep desire. And that desire doesn't come to you externally. I can't make you want it. But the Father moves over the bucket, right? He moves over the world. He's looking in there. He doesn't always have his hammer. He's looking in there. He says, wow, I know, I hear there's somebody in here that's looking for me. There's somebody, I hear them. They're saying, God, are you real? Wow. All right. Sorry, I don't have a perfect rock in here. But you know what he does? He finds that rock. He finds that one. He might find a small, little bitty, insignificant, little bitty stone. A little one like this. He says, wow, I hear you. I love you, you little bitty rock. Let me cover you with righteousness. Because you want to be changed. You want to be the image of Christ. You're seeking me. I heard you from heaven. I moved over you and I called you. I created a hunger and thirst for you. And you said, yes, God, I'm hungry. Yes, God, I'm thirsty. And he says, I got you. Now, I got you.
Kevin, I got you. Tom, it's right here. Paul, this is you. I got you. Got you, dude. Well, God, I broke that with my hand. Sorry. Well, God may do that to you, too. It's a tender heart. Thank you. It's the tender heart. It's the one willing to be manipulated and moved and conformed into his image. And then he drops you back in the bucket to be in the world, that you might show the goodness and the grace of God in your life. Oh, thank you, God, for that. The madman of Gadara. Gadara? Anyhow, what is it?
Gadara.
I was close enough the first time. So do y'all know the story, the account? Jesus had to go across the Galilee, and he went up to this place. It was a Gentile place up near, I think it's Capernaum. And there was a madman, a demon-possessed person by the name of Curtis. Right? And he would cut himself, and he would be chained with fetters. Nothing could hold him back. Chain. Nothing could hold him back. And then he met Jesus. The thing that man could not do, the thing that he couldn't do by himself, he could not be set free because of the legions of demons that was in him. Devils that was surrounding him, tormenting him day and night. But he trusted God. God moved over him and cleansed him from how many? Well, all of them. And then God put him right back. He wanted to travel with Jesus. He said, Jesus, can I go with you? Jesus said, no, stay here in your hometown and tell the people the great things that God did for you. I need to stay in the bucket. As long as I have breath, I need to stay in the bucket. And this is one of those stone washing buckets that cleanses me, that tumbles me, and makes me pure day by day. And this is the cleansing power of that bucket. It's the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, moving over people. And so when you do that, verse 9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of God who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but that makes me shout. Every time I read it, that makes me holler out, praise you, Jesus. In the things I could not do, God, he made me a chosen generation. I didn't do it on myself. He made me a chosen generation. He made me a royal priesthood. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, all of a sudden you're a priesthood. You're holy. You're set apart. You're righteous before God. And remember what he did it for, that you might show forth the acceptable sacrifices to God. In verse 5 there. He made you. He changed you. He converted you. He changed you from a dead nothingness to a live somethingness. I am astounded at his great love. And it doesn't matter what the world does. It doesn't matter what any people would say. I need to walk with God. Romans, the full of Romans chapter 8. It's in my notes here. Read Romans chapter 8. We can turn there real quick. Go to Romans chapter 8. Hope you're hungry. Are you hungry?
Yep.
6, 7, 8. Say amen when you get there. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. We start in the beginning, right? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. There's a condition there. Do you see the condition? What's the condition? Who are you walking with? Who are you walking with? Are you walking after the flesh? Or are you walking after the Spirit? If you're walking after the Spirit, guess what? You're not condemned. You're not condemned. If you're walking after the Spirit, you're making some adjustments in your life. Keep your finger there. I'm going to flip over to Galatians real quick. Because there's a battle going on. Do you know that?
You know that your flesh is fighting against your spirit all the time, and I need to make a definite direction change in my life if I'm going to please God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. Whoa. Okay. There's a battle going on. Right here. A celebration that'll last throughout the year. Right? Are you ready for the fight? You've got to make a choice if you're going to follow your flesh or you're going to follow the Spirit of God. The choice is yours. If you say, I'm going to follow the Spirit of God, you know what God's going to do? He's going to say, hey, lovely rock, there's some things in you I need to clean up. There's some things in you I need to wash off. There's some things in you that I need to conform. And then he's going to pick up the hammer. He says, are you sure you want it? Because if you want it, you're going to have to change. This is going to hurt, but it's going to be best. The chastening of the Lord is never pleasant at the first, but at the end, it brings great reward. Amen? It's good to be changed, to be conformed into the image of God. But the verse 18, for if we be led of the Spirit, we're not under the law. For the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And I'm not going to go through the list. You go through the list. The list is up to you. All right? There's a list. There's like, I think there's 18 things there that are mentioned. That are the works, that's the flesh. It's what you do. Now, do you want God more than those things? That's between you and God. Amen? That is between you and God. None of my business. But if you want to be conformed to the image of God, you must walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. The flesh is titillizing. It does. It feels good. It really does. But if you lay with it, it will kill you. Not just a death of life of your flesh, but it's going to be a death of your spirit. You will be cast out into, there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. You'll be cast out into the utter darkness. If you follow the lust of the flesh, there is no guarantee of your salvation. Amen? You can read through that and you'll find it. Those who do these things have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. So if you go back to Romans chapter 1, I ask you to keep your finger there. 8, verse 1 and 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. Amen. I am free from the law of sin and death. Why? Because of Christ Jesus. Not what I did, what he did. It's his righteousness, his holiness. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through my flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally, fleshly, carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Who needs a little bit of life and peace? Change your stinking thinking. Right? Get your mind wrapped around God's Word. I don't like the struggle of this life. I don't like it. But I've got to struggle. Only dead things, any dead fish can flow downhill, downstream. You know that? In fact, all of them do. Only live fish fight against the current of this sinful life, the current of this world. You've got to be living, struggling to fight against that. My sin is in me and is always wanting to take advantage, to get ahead. I've got to fight that. How do I fight that? Through the living Word of God. I fight that by desiring to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Desiring it enough to know what God says is truth, and if I want to be with Him, I must do what it says, not what I believe. Does anyone get it? Amen? What do you want? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be conformed? Do you want to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Repent and believe. Repent and believe, repent of your sinfulness, believe in the payment of Jesus Christ on the cross, and turn from your wickedness to his righteousness. And I promise you, by the authority of God's word, you shall be saved. You will be saved, but you got to want it. You got to want it. If you're out in the ocean and drowning and somebody throws you a life preserver and you say, no, I don't want that. It's the wrong color. It doesn't really fit my outfit. Right? You will drown and you'll become shark food and you will never be seen again. But if you hold on to that life raft, if you hold on to that vest, regardless of what it looks like, it is salvation. Hold on to Jesus Christ, especially when you don't like it. Because your likes have nothing to do with his righteousness.
Walking in the flesh, yeah, you'll of the flesh, you will earn corruption. Walk in the Spirit and you'll earn Christ. Not earn him, you will be conformed into his righteousness, into his holiness. Oh my goodness.
Verse 7.
I thought that's where it was. Because the carnal mind is enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Did you catch that? If you are walking in the flesh, you cannot please God. Who here wants to please God? All right? Do you? Do it. Now examine your life. Do you really want to please God? Well, I said so in Sunday. Well, how about Monday? How about when the hard times hit, when the confirmation, when the being conformed starts being demanded of you? Because it is a demand of God to be conformed into his image. He does the work, but you got to want it bad enough to do it. God will do it for you. But ye, verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so, that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. All right? If you do not have the Spirit of God, if you don't hear God, you are not his. I don't care how many times you prayed after me. I don't care how many times you followed, I accept Jesus, but I'm not going to repent from my ways. I don't care how much of that you do it. That is false. You must be converted. You must change your life. You must believe him more than what you see. You must live by faith and not by sight.
Curtis, can you read that last piece again?
Amen. Verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so, that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if the man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwells in you. I'm going to be made alive not because of my will, but because of his will. I'm going to be conformed not because of me, but because of him. The only thing that you got to do, person, stone, you rocks out there, the only thing you got to do is humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and allow the chiseler to do the chiseling. Not that God's a chiseler, the conformer to do the conforming. You got to do that if you really want him. But you really got to want him to do that. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not of the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again into fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. For the Spirit itself beareth witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. I have a witness in me. I know that I'm born again.
I know that he's doing the conforming. I know that he's in work on me and in me and through me. And I trust him beyond whatever this world may show me. I trust him more than what I feel. I trust him more than what I say. I trust him enough to repent from my unrighteousness that I might live in the basking glory of the Son of God. Now, that's what I do. How about you? Because this is all about you. Amen? This ain't about, well, it is about Curtis. It's all about anybody who would trust him. You say you trust him. You say you believe in him. Does your life show it? Is there enough spirit dwelling, living, hungering, thirsting, righteousness in you, boiling out from your inner parts, that a lost and dying world could say, Kevin, I see Christ in you. You are one peculiar guy. You love when nobody else loves. You give when nobody else gives. You have compassion where the world has hate. You're not blown by every wind of doctrine that comes around. In fact, you've dug down and you found that solid rock, that cornerstone, the bedrock of faith, Jesus the Christ. And no matter the storms that come, no matter the winds that howl, no matter the hatred and the despising of this world that comes against you, you're anchored. And my anchor holds.
Amen.
My anchor holds. Yeah, my body, my though the sails are torn, though the ship is battered, the anchor holds. The storms howl, the winds rage, evil is on every side, but God has me, and I have him. He has me, and that's what gives me the ability to have him. And so God says, I need to stretch that chain to the nth degree. I need to put you out in the wind. I need to batter you and beat you. I need to rip your sails apart that you won't trust yourself, but you'll trust me. And you say, not my will, but thy will be done. That's the beginning of faith. And Alan, when you do that, when you really trust God, is he faithful?
Amen.
Amen. He is always faithful. Even when I can't be, he is. So the building of Christ, being conformed into the image of God, willing to suffer for his glory, for his grace, for his righteousness. Didn't even get to 29. Well, we'll start in 28. For these things that work together for good in them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many among many brethren. Amen? He's asking you to be conformed to the image of his Son, that you might be called the son of his image. Amen? Who here wants to be a child of God? The only thing that's stopping you is you. The only thing that stops you is you trusting him more than you trust yourself. We don't do that pray after me or come up here and be proud of your works. But what I will do is tell you to go home and examine yourself. Ask God, is there anything, how do I be born again? Open your Bible and read. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I got a lot to say, but I have no more time to say it in. This is just the beginning of the building. This is the exterior sides of the building of the church that Christ is building, that the gates of hell shall not prevail. This is the exterior self. Next week, we're going to get into the interior parts of the house. We're going to start looking at the pillars of faith. You know that there are pillars in my life
that help me to know that I'm a Christian. There are things that hold me up when the weight of the world comes down. And we'll talk about those next week. And it'll be a different board up here. This is going to be moved to one side. And we're going to start working on the inside of the blueprint of the building of God in your personal life. Folks, I love you. I pray that you've heard something today that helps you to dig, that helps you to understand, that actually created a hunger and thirst for His righteousness in your life. And a hope that goes way beyond understanding. I hope you can find that today through His Word. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we are indeed grateful. We thank You. We love You. We praise You. I pray, Lord God, that we would become these living stones, moldable into Your image, willing to surrender our will to Yours, that we would be able to stand in the midst of the whirlwind, to stand in the midst of the flood and the hard times and the hurt and the insecurities of this world, that we would be able to stand. Oh, thank You, God, for this. That we would be able to give a man an answer to every question that they have about faith. Fill us, Lord Jesus, with Your Holy Spirit. Help us to live in the knowledge of the Most High, that Your name, Your life, Your love would be glorified and magnified here in this spot in New York, right here, right now, that You would allow us to shine forth the glory of the Most High God. We love You, we thank You, and we ask those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys.